Blog Talk Radio.
This is Ken English. You're listening to a special edition of Liquid Lounge. Liquid Lounge. It's the 26th of April, 2009. I'm in Miami, Florida, and I'm talking with Richard Stewart, publisher of a new series of publications called Eco Guides. He's in the Florida Keys working on Eco Guide to the Florida Keys. Richard, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ken. It's a beautiful day down here in Key Largo. A little bit wind, but sunny and just gorgeous.
Well, it's been a very nice period of time here in general. Now, you've been down in the Keys for about a week or so now, I guess. The project that you're working on is the Eco Guide to we call it the Eco Guide to the water side, but you've kind of broadened that out, but to the Florida Keys. Perhaps you can tell people a little bit about the concept itself and how it's come to be.
To promote the environment of the Indian River Lagoon in Volusia County, New Smyrna Beach area. It's because, Ken, these days ecotourism is one of the fastest growing sectors in the travel industry. It's considered to be part of the adventure travel industry, and you have more and more people of all age groups going to destinations where they can not only just hang around the pool or take a walk on the beach, but they can actually get involved, interact with nature itself in the form of kayaking or bird watching or hiking, many different activities, snorkeling, scuba diving. And this area of the travel industry is still running very strong, even at a time when there's been, you know, significant reductions in numbers and occupancies in the leisure travel market. What that means is that people are still traveling for leisure, but their focus on that travel is to experience something beyond just sitting around a pool.
Well, certainly there's a lot of talk now about green this and green that. And as you and I have talked, I like the blue-green philosophy, a little bit of the blue of the ocean with the green of the land. And that's where ecotourism really comes in. It is an opportunity for people to enjoy nature, be either on the water or under the water as a scuba diver or snorkeler. And a lot more, we stay with the water for a minute, a lot more emphasis is being placed on snorkeling these days as an entry into the scuba diving industry. Do you see snorkeling down in the Florida Keys very often?
You know, more and more of the dive boats, the scuba diving boats, years ago you would not see the numbers that they have of people going out to just snorkel as you're seeing these days. And yeah, it is becoming a very fast-growing market. And as a matter of fact, the Eco Guide series is sponsored by National Geographic Snorkeler. That's how much they believe we are helping to promote and encourage people to get closer to the nature, the marine aspect of the nature, by snorkeling. So, yeah, it is a very big growth area. It's probably the fastest growing area in the aquatic adventure sports area.
Now, I'm not familiar with the National Geographic snorkeler program there. Can you enlighten me a little bit to what you know about it?
Yes, the program, which is directed by Nestor Palmero, who is a longtime scuba retailer and also marketing director for manufacturers, has formed with the National Geographic Society, the National Geographic Snorkeler Program, and the program is designed to encourage people to try snorkeling. There's online quizzes, online instruction, just things to help people understand, you know, how do you do snorkeling? You know, to us, to you and I as scuba divers, we may look at that and think that's kind of silly, but, you know, there are millions and millions of people who have never been near a scuba diver or a snorkeler for that matter, So, you know, without them going into a dive scuba store, where do they go? Well, National Geographic, because it's got such a wonderful branding name, has agreed that they can help lead thousands, if not millions, of people into the water and snorkeling by encouraging them with information online, how to, where to, what to, and all that kind of general information. So it's a great idea, and it's a great concept that is going to help the, you know, this, we'll call it the diving industry as a whole, because it's not scuba, but it is part of diving.
Well, earlier this week, I had an opportunity to speak with Rick Stratton and Peter Symes. Peter called in. It was really very interesting. Peter was in Copenhagen. He Skyped in. And Rick Stratton is in Seattle, Washington, the Tacoma area. He's the organizer of the Northwest Dive Show, the Dive and Travel Show. And we were spanning 10 time zones on a live program. And I thought that was pretty novel and pretty nifty. It works very well for this internet platform. But what Rick was talking about, he's got a very intense kids program with an emphasis on snorkeling. Because he said very much what you were saying. It's the entry into the water. People will snorkel before they'll dive. And if they like the experience, if they have a pleasant experience in snorkeling, then the likelihood of them transferring the skill set to scuba diving is increased, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, the proper introduction to snorkeling is very important because so many times people without a little bit of knowledge, what to expect, how they might be affected by dipping their head too far forward and the results of water pouring down the snorkel can cause to have a poor experience. And so it's important that this kind of information is out there and promoted. And, you know, we're in a partnership with National Geographic Snorkeler to promote the information that they're providing and then to encourage people. And obviously to point out here in the Keys, you know, some of the more easily accessible places such as Bahia Honda and other areas like South and Mallory Beach and so on, places that it's easy to access the beach area to get out and do some snorkeling.
Well, I'd like you to talk a little bit about what you've discovered in the Florida Keys, the various locations. There is a second caller, somebody with a 664 extension. Who is that?
Ken and Richard, this is Gary Levine.
Well, hello, Gary. How you doing?
We're great. How you doing?
We're doing very fine. You know what? We've been talking a little bit about this. I saw your picture on the Eco Guide to the Florida Keys. I know you and your Live Rock entity are supporting what Richard's doing. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Why do you think it's important, Gary?
Well, what is I like Richard, and he's got a tremendous love of the environment, and he has this passion to create his magazine. And awareness is a very important part of recognition of a problem. The ecology is having some problems, and if you don't have voices like Richard's, nobody's going to really understand the issues.
Now, Gary, you've been down in the Keys for a couple of months now because you've got your own project that you're working on. But being up in Miami, certainly I read a lot about what's going on down there. Anything that struck you as of a surprise, perhaps, now that you've been down there for a concentrated period of time?
Yes, Ken, absolutely. I'm encouraged by the $170 million in grants that were put forth by the Obama administration under the Recovery and Reinvestment Act. And we have a grant in to put 30 million pounds of limestone boulders off of South Beach. And so we're looking for that. We'll acknowledge that on May 6th. And so coming down here and finding all the people that are committed to the environment, that was great. Meeting people from the University of Miami that are looking at projects down here. getting involved in aquaculture and involvement with the state of Florida to create things out of use of the ocean. I'm having a pretty good time. I got to tell you, I'm having a very good time.
Well, Richard, you've spent certainly time in the Key West area and down there years ago, but you've been mostly north in the state and out on the West Coast. What are you finding about the Keys that maybe is a little different, a little surprising?
Well, I can't say that anything surprising is come to my attention. What has been exciting is seeing a lot of new environmental organizations and new programs that have been put in place. For example, I just attended the open house of a new program in Isla Mirada called Eco Mariner, and it's a great facility for boaters to come in and sit down in front of the laptop and go through a questionnaire that helps them understand a little bit of environmental-friendly boatmanship. And the simple things is like avoiding tearing up the seagrass as they're traveling across shallow waters. So I've seen so many things, and I'm just getting to know all the things that are going on. And I also enjoyed going to an opening of Wyland Studio, a gallery down in, also in Isla Mirada. And so you've got all kinds of eco and art and activities going on here. There's always something going on every week. It's just an amazing place. From Key Largo all the way down to Key West, there's always something going on. And almost every week or so, always something to do with the environment. The Keys residents, the conchs, as they are called, are very, very active in the environment. I went on Thursday to a Chamber of Commerce, a Key Largo Chamber of Commerce function, and had the opportunity to meet the president of the chamber and half of the board members, and they all gave the Eco Guide project a resounding thumbs up. They just think it's fantastic that somebody has finally come down here and created something besides a standard amusement park tourist guide.
Now, the concept of the Eco Guides right now in place. You did the first one in Volusia County, northern part, northeastern Florida. You've got somebody working on one in Catalina, California. Is that true?
We have four guides in progress right now. Certainly Catalina is one that's actually getting started this week, and Cozumel is our first international guide. And, of course, we are back to working on an expanded version of the Volusia Guide. What's important to understand about the Eco Guide brand idea of creating tourism information guides, what happened was while I've been working with the Marine Discovery Center in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, we realized that, why do people come to our town? Is it because of our great accommodations or our great food? And, no. I mean, certainly those are nice things to have once you do get to town. But the reason they come to town is they love our beach. They love our lagoons. They love our sand dunes. They love our National Seashore Park. They love our marine life. They love kayaking, snorkeling, diving. There is just so many things to do that, that's why this is why they come there. And, so then we said, this is great. They're coming here and they're enjoying our environment. But our environment is fragile. It's pristine. The Indian River Lagoon is the largest biodiverse ecosystem of all lagoons in the whole country. So my concept was to how do we promote what Marine Discovery Center is doing in its environmental education. How do we encourage people to be a part of discovering the environment through ecotourists? And how do we guide them around to where they can do things like kayaking and diving and so on? So this is where the Eco Guide came together as an idea to help promote all that in that area. So as a result, we are also a media sponsor of the Adventure Travel Expos, which are in New York and Chicago, L.A., Washington, D.C., and so on. And through my occasional meeting up with friends at these shows, I ran into Stacy Mitchell, who is the sales manager for Monroe County Tourism Development Council, and she just loved the idea of what we were doing, and she said the Keys really could use something like this. So we talked about it, and we worked on the idea, and we made some decisions to move forward, and here we are.
Well, now, you've been as far down as Key West. When you met with her, what were some of the areas that she'd like you to expand on or promote that she said, I think people should know about this?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, we're going to point out some of the areas, you know, the areas where you can most enjoy things like snorkeling and kayaking, you know, even catch and release fishing programs. You know, you know, pretty much gone are the days of people coming down here and fishing and tossing stuff on the decks. And you know, I mean, fishermen here, they either eat their catch or they release them. But there are all kinds of programs in place, from preserving certain species of fish, preserving the reefs, regrowing areas that are. Maybe getting sparse. So these are the things that she wants us to point out, the attractions, the natural attractions that the county has. Also, the county now can boast 38 Florida Green Certified Lodges. And these are not all small bed and breakfast type properties or 10-room properties. Some of the larger properties have spent millions of dollars to do a variety of things to improve their energy efficiency, water use, water distribution, just a whole range of things. And you can go online to floridastate.gov, I can't remember the exact domain for that, but type in Florida Green Lodges, and you'll get a list of all the lodges, all the hotels and accommodations throughout the state. But in particular, there are about 38 now, and of course, they're very proud that so many properties down here have spent money that they didn't have to spend. People are still staying in their lodges, but these are people who believe that in order to continue to enjoy a prosperous return on their investment, that they have to manage the environment. It is what's called sustainable ecotourism, and that means to make sure that you can sustain that income, you've got to continue to protect the environment itself. So there's a reason for people to come here.
I'm looking on the website at a picture of Spencer Slate. David Dunleavy did the endangered species wall. Is it big? What's it like? I've known David for a couple of years and seen some pictures of his work, but never seen one in person. I've seen the Weiland work that he did recently here in South Florida. But what's Dunleavy's picture look like?
It's very nice. I mean, the building that Spencer has out on the A1A is an sort of a welcome center for divers. And, David came in and did, I would estimate to be 30 feet wide by 20 feet high, approximately, mural, and painted all kinds of stuff all over the building. He's an excellent artist. It certainly is not of the project size that Weiland did in the four-story building, that the highest building in Key Largo, which is an amazing project in itself. But it's a beautiful demonstration of marine art. And, of course, Spencer Slate, you know, he's been down here as one of the number one operators for over three decades. And having known him from the days when he was from Jacksonville, living in Jacksonville, and he and his wife, Amy, who now has a moray dive, the two of them really forged forward with the industry down here, and along with Joe Clark and Doc Swinland, these guys have built the diving industry. Further south, you have some of the guys down there. Like Bob Holston and Key West, who had been, he'd been involved with the diving community for so long. There's a lot of very experienced people here, and then in Marathon you got Bob Raymond. These are people who have been around for 30 years, and they know about taking care of the environment. And these are the real industry leaders down here. And there's an awful lot of other good smaller operators too. I'm having a great pleasure in meeting some new people and seeing a lot of old friends that I've had here for many decades as well.
Well, I think a lot of it is coming full circle of sorts. I mean, you grew up in that area in Miami, got involved in the dive industry as DEMA first started up, and have watched some ups and downs of that. And speaking of DEMA, I saw a release that Tom is open to discussion for a consumer day at the DEMA convention. And I think that that's about time, don't you?
Yes, in the past couple of weeks, an awful lot of us have written into Tom. He very openly asked people for input, and I know he got a flurry of input from a lot of people. And one of the big things that we have talked about for probably 20 years is opening the doors to the consumer on the last day. And there were many reasons why that wasn't a good idea 20 years ago, and maybe even 10 years ago. But with the internet and the sales networks that the manufacturers have and the way retailers are doing their purchasing, it doesn't have the same effect by opening those doors on the last day of Saturday to, potentially 10,000 consumers. If it's in the Orlando area, you've got that entire Central Florida belt that would migrate into Orlando for a day. So we're hoping very much that he and the board will take our suggestions serious and make those changes, because, we all spend a small amount of our income going to that show, and we would like to maximize it as much as possible. And what better way to let the consumer come in there and get a feast, just feast of their eyes full of incredible equipment and fantastic destinations and environmental information. It's just a great way to further educate the consumer.
Well, I got to believe that it would turn the last day into more of a festive day. One of the things that DEMA doesn't have is a lot of fun. Somewhere along the line, it's just become too much of a trade show. And even though there's pockets of partying, so to speak, going on in various areas, these are destinations that are known for their hospitality. And to not have more of a hospitable environment is a shame. So adding consumers, I think, would be really great. We've got a few more minutes to go on this, which is the initial show of the Eco Guide series. We're going to set up some people to call in and do some other things as we go along. But I see Stephen Malarick is still around. He's the Eco Guide to Fiji.
Steve is in Fiji. He is developing, he's doing some groundwork now on developing an Eco Guide to Fiji. He's also, developing a project out there for tourists who can come in and wear a helmet and walk along a sandy bottom and have an experience that's almost like Jules Verne. So he's out there doing a number of things, and we are working toward the Fiji project's going to be a second phase project that will pretty much initially get kicked off after the first of the year, because we already have five in production right now that will take us the rest of the year to complete. But Steve's still around.
Well, that's cool. I haven't seen him in a couple of years now. In closing, on the website for the Florida Keys, for the Eco Guide, you have Pasta Pantello's Keys to Life Art. Has he got a gallery down there?
Yes, he does. He's got a really cool gallery. It's actually a gallery and a studio. I mean, he comes in there and he does his work. His paintings are displayed in a number of smaller galleries that he has around the Keys. His work is absolutely phenomenal, and we're really happy for Pasta to take the lead in the art community to support the Eco Guide, and we certainly are hoping to be able to attract others, including Weiland, because we believe that these guys, they're environmentalists at heart, just like divers are, you know, by nature environmentalists. None of us are diving and thinking about how we can trash the reef. We're always thinking about how to protect it, and we get upset when we hear somebody's mismanaging it. It's great to have him on board, and every week that goes by, we keep getting more people involved, and we have some very good people from the Comcast radio network down here that have also got involved. The word is spreading, and I'm confident that, you know, it's going to be probably another 3 months of work to create the materials that we need for the content and shoot the pictures necessary. I go out pretty much every few days while I'm running around meeting people and shoot pictures. And the other day I had a great couple hours at the wildlife preserve. There's all these wild birds, and they're not in cages, but they have all the wild birds that come around the area because it's a very nice undisturbed part of the mangroves. And I was able to sit out there along the shore and with my telephoto lens and get some pretty nice shots that have been put on my Facebook page. I'm enjoying that. I will be in the coming days stopping in to talk to some of the dolphin care people. We always go by and see Island Dolphin Care, where they use the dolphins there to interact with autistic kids, and have found amazing results that give these kids some great energy, you know, just confidence that they're in the water with these dolphins, and they just feel so empowered. So a lot of great things happening down here, Ken.
Well, tell people how they could get in touch with you and give the website address again, and then we'll do this again next week.
Well, the primary website is ecoguides.info, or they can call me at 352-817-5893. And we'll be down here running around getting more pictures. In fact, our destination editor, Linda Marshall, will be here in a couple weeks to help get around to do some of this work. We have the whole team working together to get this produced, and we're looking forward to seeing it out at the end of the year.
Well, that sounds great. Well, we'll pursue this conversation with other eco guys and get back onto the Florida Keys next week. Maybe we would just do this on a regular basis. I think it sets up real nice. And the next one, we'll do an hour and we'll get a couple guests to call in. What do you think?
That sounds real good. I can start working on that this week.
All right, Richard, have a great time down in the Florida Keys. I know it's a great opportunity to mix business and pleasure down there. It's beautiful weather and some really nice sights. I look forward to seeing some of the pictures that you take and put up online.
Okay, well, that sounds great. Yeah, you can watch that. And we'll be actually next week launching the Eco Guide newsletter that will go out. We'll update everybody on the progress of this particular guide with other newsletters going to the various other markets in the future. So we're doing everything we can to stay in touch with the community so they can see what we're doing, and that we're going to post news updates and activity updates and pictures all the time.
All right. Talk to you later. Have a great evening. This is Ken. You've been listening to Liquid Lounge. My guest was Richard Stewart, Eco Guide to the Florida Keys. We'll be talking more about that next Sunday, 9 o'clock in the evening. This is Ken English. Have a great week. Okay.